Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. This is your favorite animation podcast about animation and animation things. Today we are going to be discussing it's a live action movie, but it does have some CGI parts to it. It is called Shin Godzilla. And today we are going to be doing a format that is new to us. It is called Devil's Advocate. And this kind of is a debate forum that we've created where one of us chooses to like it and one of us chooses to vouch against it. So today I am going to be telling you why Shin Godzilla is a good movie to go ahead and watch. But first I'm going to dive into the plot real quick. Oh, also, we do have a guest here today who is joining us. His name is David, and he was on our last podcast. That was about Wicked City. So he was there then, and then today he's back. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
So a little bit about Shin Godzilla. This is a Japanese film, which is directed by Hideki Anno and produced in 2016. It is based in Tokyo, and the government there is trying frantically to find ways to take down a giant lizard monster. Every time they throw something at the lizard, though, the monster just gets stronger, evolving new powers and assumably more anger. This is a great example of what a giant lizard monster would do if a radioactive activity really affected an animal, seemingly has no emotions and wants to go on a rampage. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about why this movie is really good to watch. And mind you, I think the only version that you can see anymore is in the English dub. So good luck trying to find the Japanese dub. I'm going to give you a couple points here. Point number one, this is a great classic movie about Godzilla. It adds to the lore and the story and is overall a great traditional Japanese horror. Every scene we see Godzilla in, he is evolving into something new, making this movie more super diverse and interactive for the audience, keeping us on our toes and on the edge of our seats. Like, who knows what's going to happen next with this? It is super dynamic, and it really keeps me wondering what this monster is going to do next. Also, point two, the fact that Godzilla is mostly animated itself is great. There are lots of live action parts to this, so be sure it's not a fully animated film, guys. With the new releases of Godzilla movies, there are a lot of animated ones, which hopefully we'll get to eventually. Godzilla is one of those timeless classics that you can see over and over again and not get tired of. The franchise has been revamped, and so Shin Godzilla is no exception for a great reboot of the film. Using CGI, the film was supposed to start out using a puppeted suit, which was kind of a cool thing, using those traditional ways of showing Godzilla, you know, having somebody in a suit and romping around on a tiny city, as you might have seen in old recreations. But the director didn't really like how the suit was working out, so he decided to go with a wholly CGI Godzilla, which is super cool. Kind of a cool backstory there. Point number three. Although we predominantly review animation, this live action was pretty cool. The music choices were super interesting and intriguing, bringing different tones of sadness and despair, along with intense victory throughout the film. The acting wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, although I watched the English dub and can say that the voiceovers were pretty comparable to how some actors might sound in their Japanese versions. Point number four, who doesn't love Godzilla? Godzilla is so awesome. What a cool idea to have a giant lizard just romping around trying to destroy everything. Also, like, he had giant nuclear beams coming out. That was really cool. Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, how's it going, folks? I'm taking the side of why this is a terrible film. My first point, Godzilla looks disgusting or too cute. Now, this is a problem because Godzilla is supposed to be perceived as a threat. Now, how can a creature be supposed to be that's supposed to be menacing and imposing be cute? Like, that automatically makes the first impression less impactful because you know, first impressions are important. But if you come in looking like a wiggly fish, then the audience subconsciously feels that, you know, this is a movie, it's supposed to be sort of tongue-in-cheek, it's silly. So that was a poor choice on the director's point on making it look too soft, not strong. Considering that Godzilla is a commentary on the atomic bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it really sort of underplays the true, like, force of nature that Godzilla is by not physically representing him as well that he should be. I shouldn't want to cuddle with it, is what I'm saying, basically. And my second point, a lack of scale / same plot of every Godzilla film. Now, this is essentially a modern reboot of the franchise of the original film from 70 years ago. And it has a similar commentary of nuclear weaponry and things like that. And you can't tell the same story twice, because it really seems that the audience wasn't very receptive to the original, and just telling the same story with a new coat of paint isn't the best idea. Now, what they could have done was maybe show more of the lives affected by Godzilla by showing how the survivors were affected, or maybe the people that were lost, or the therapy that was needed, you know, trying to recover mentally from Godzilla, or maybe how thousands of people lost their homes and maybe relocation, and maybe talk more about how the country's stock fell and the rebuilding that needed to take place. It felt pretty small, is basically what I'm trying to say. Point number three, bland / lackluster characters. Now, in order to feel the impact of Godzilla, the characters need to seem real and fleshed out. But if the characters aren't real, then you don't buy the world that they inhabit. And like I said, Godzilla is a commentary, and he's a powerful figure. And there were characters that simply acted cartoonish. Like for example, one of the first true instances of this was around 18 minutes and 30 seconds in, where the baby Godzilla was rampaging through the city, and we quickly see a family, like a wife, father, and a kid. And the wife, the husband is telling his wife to, you know, come on, hurry up. But she's really packing her clothes now when the beast is like just down the street. Like, I can't buy that. Okay. That's silly. It's preposterous. And on top of that, one of the main female characters, and she was just in a completely different movie doing these like anime poses and things. I can't make this stuff up, folks. It's absurd. It's absurd. And point number four, lack of Godzilla screen time. Godzilla was only in about 16 to 18 minutes of this film, which is about 15% of the whole movie, which puts this Godzilla around about like 9th to 13th Godzilla screen time in the entire franchise, which is abysmal. It's absurd. And Shin Godzilla means true Godzilla. Now, how true can he be if he's hibernating through most of his screen time? Like, I'm supposed to be afraid of a sleeping creature? It's not cool. Point number five. Show, don't tell. This movie does the opposite. Now, this is especially a problem when you see that the directors for this film were they are mostly known for their animated works. Hideaki Anno is the creator of Neon Genesis, and the second director, Shinji Higuchi, is the creator of Nadia, the Secret of Blue Water, which is like an old anime from the 80s. And, you know, they've done storyboard works, they've done animation, and considering that most of this film is like courtroom, or like board meetings, and people talking in basically square boxes, I'm really saddened that this wasn't more like they like showed the action instead of just telling us and expecting us to feel the consequences of Godzilla's actions. Like they told us that, his droppings can like create life and take over the world, but we don't see that, so we don't really get a feel of what that means. We don't comprehend what that means. And considering that other animation directors made good live action films, like Brad Bird, who, you know, he's done The Incredibles, the Iron Giant, and then went on to direct Mission Impossible and other things like that. And then there is Travis Knight, who founded Laika Studios, and he went on to direct the Bumblebee movie that did well. There's no excuses, and that's my point. Yeah, so following up on what you said, David, was the people, if I were sort of giving a point to Sarah, but I'm still going to win this, so it doesn't matter. But the people can be seen as like small parts of a greater whole, and they work better as a unit. And that this film could be seen as sort of nationalistic, and that this film sort of like shows pride in, okay, so it shows pride in its people and you know what they've been through and
I think that this movie is very much about like Japanese nationalism. Each of these characters is kind of a representative of an opinion or a voice of like many people amalgamed into one character. And so you've got our main character, and if you forgive me, I don't know any of these characters' names, but our protagonist, who is kind of this like gung-ho person. He wants to respond. He wants to, he just wants to take action. He wants to fix things, and he's very motivated and whatever. He's this aggressive entity. And then you have the political system, who exists as a series of red tape and of checks and balances that are just slowing him down. And if he could, he'd cut through all of that and just solve the problem. And so he kind of represents the angst and the frustration of like everybody who wants to just say, let's just fix this thing. Let's just put all of this government stuff aside and get something done. And then you have these, like, the scientists who are, you know, kind of talking out their ass, and they don't know shit about anything, and they just cause more and more frustration within the system and with all these people. And you have the, like, female character who is there. Her purpose is really just to, like, be a real scientist and represent the opinion that is, like, accurate. And she does so in an unapologetic way. She has no sensitivity towards the way that, like, the men in this world who are very pride oriented, and the government system who is also very pride oriented, and the Japanese tradition and culture that is very face oriented. She doesn't care about any of that stuff. And she just cuts right to the quick about her opinions and what she can separate that is fact and is fiction. And all the characters function in this way to represent these attributes or characterizations of Japanese sentiment within the movie.
Yes. But I do have a question for Garrison. And this goes back to one of your points from earlier. Why, in which part of this movie did you want to cuddle Godzilla? That piqued my interest.
I'm quite also a bit interested in this.
Well, that's okay. So I thought that he looked nasty, and I was really hoping that I wouldn't have to lick at that form for much longer, because I was munching on some food when I was watching it, and I was literally almost about to, like, throw up because it looked so gross the way it was, like, jiggling and things and squirting up red fluids. But I read and, like, seen lots of, like, comments on people saying that it was cute, and they even sell, like, merchandise and things of, like, calling it, like, cute and things like that. So that's sort of why I said that people thought that it was cute.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the tadpole version of Godzilla, you know? It's supposed to be like, also, this is like a horror, you know? It's not supposed to be, you know, like, fun, right? You're not supposed to, like, eat food while you watch it, probably.
Well, it's not supposed to be cute then, if it's a horror.
That's their own problem. I don't know what's wrong with them. They gotta see a psychiatrist or something.
I think that while we could argue whether or not Godzilla is cute in his original form, I very much agree that I think he's kind of underwhelming. But I kind of think that that's intentional. I think it's meant to elicit a response that's like, man, look at this thing. It's huge and it's destructive, but how much trouble really can it be? It doesn't seem that smart. Doesn't seem that capable. Can't even walk upright. Doesn't have arms. It's not breathing fire. It's just, it's kind of, you know, let's just hit it with some missiles and be done with this. Is kind of the response of a lot of the characters and maybe the audience. But the fear, the horror, the real scary part is as it, like, continues to evolve and snowball out of control. If it showed up and it was, like, in its final form to begin with, I think the movie would be entirely different.
Also, yeah. There was another thing I wanted to ask. Let's hope I can remember it. Oh, yes. Okay. So the real translation for Shin Godzilla is New True God. I think you said something about New God or something, or New Godzilla.
I called it True Godzilla.
It's supposed to be New True God.
Well, you know, this is a reboot, so I guess that would make it a New True Godzilla, because I guess the older ones were, you know, that was from a different universe, I guess you could say. So, okay.
Okay.
I also think that the title New True makes more sense, and it's more applicable to this film, because the new part of it is a response to the fact that it's about the Fukushima disaster and not about the bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's the new element. And the true is more of a response to the American adaptations of Godzilla. So in one fell swoop, this is a Godzilla movie. It's new and it's true.
I would say that it's not entirely absent of the original thoughts of the original series, because they do mention that America is, like, planning on dropping a bomb and they really don't want that. So, like, that's still sort of like it brings up, like, a bitterness or a sense of dread and melancholy in the people, and they're really trying to look for a new solution. So I do think that the nuclear bombs are still a part of it.
Oh, definitely. There's the element of, I think nobody wants to win by having America drop another bomb on Japan. That's like a sentiment that's very strongly represented through the movie. But I think that's partly a device. And I think the heart of that really is just that Japan refuses to be cucked by the UN and by the US.
It's their land. They're sovereign. They're allowed to do what they want.
I haven't heard much from you, Sarah, because you can't...
Well, there's a couple of other statements I have here. I have a whole page here. Okay. So there's a couple of things that you did mention about the characters and you saying that they were bland and it was basically like one giant board meeting. One thing I would like to add is that the Japanese style of filming is very different from the American style of filming. So mostly what we're going to see is character development. They want you to really identify with the human aspect. They don't really want you to cheer for Godzilla because Godzilla is the enemy, right? So I think really looking at these characters and focusing on them and how they react is key in helping the humanistic aspect of this. They don't, you know, like, it's not like a Godzilla versus Mothra versus whatever. This is humans versus Godzilla. And they really show the evil side of Godzilla.
Now, David, so would you say that this Godzilla is evil or just like apathetic and the people are sort of like messing with him? So he retaliates and like that sort of the conflict.
I think it's a good question. I think that this movie is because Godzilla kind of represents an event, a catastrophe, like Armageddon or something like that. There's, on the one hand, there's this sense that like he can't be evil. This is just something that's happening. And you know, you can't really say that he's like some like vindictive god or like this is some sort of attack on goodness or anything like that. It doesn't really vibe with me very well. But I think what you can think of it as is as like a punishment. The sentiment that is portrayed within the movie is that this all could have been prevented. There's this scientist who's disappeared who did research on this. And it's all a response to like illegal dumping of nuclear waste and the kind of ugly truth of how we deal with the aftermath of the implementation of nuclear power and of nuclear weapons. And so in some sense, you can look at Godzilla as like almost this like Old Testament god, like very like vengeful and like in smiting these people who have done something wrong. And so it's like a punishment. And it's almost deserved in some sense, like they got what they deserve.
Would you consider it like a plague and it's just sort of like balancing out nature again? Like it's trying to create balance?
I think a plague is a very good descriptor.
Okay. I have a question, or not a question, but a statement on one of your points, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love Godzilla? Now, Godzilla, I would say people are pretty indifferent. Like most people are pretty indifferent, but
yeah, if you're not Japanese.
Yeah, but like, like super fans like David, you know, they're a small niche. Like, let's be honest here. They're a small niche and most people know these films for like coming on in the afternoon in like the late 90s, early 2000s, like the 80s and things like that. And they were just things that you turned on like Saturday afternoon. And that's not prime time. You know, that's not coming on at like seven or eight. And it's just sort of like just sort of there. And I think that people in the West, at least, could couldn't care less.
Ouch. Okay. Well, are you talking about just this Godzilla, or are you talking about all of Godzilla?
All of them.
What?
Wow. What a bold statement.
Yes. I will have to refute that, because the one Godzilla that came out, I think it was like 2001, that came out with
Matthew Broderick, his name. That one?
Which one?
Matthew Broderick, that one?
Is it? Yes, I think so. So that's like one of my favorite films. I'm going to tell you a little backstory.
No.
Okay. When I went to go get my tonsils out, I was able to bring a couple things, you know, like a blanket, a movie to watch, because I was going to be in the hospital for a while. You know what movie I chose to bring?
Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Yes. Matthew Broderick Godzilla. So
that's the title. It came in 98, by the way.
Yeah, that long ago. That's the movie I chose to bring as I was passing out on this concoction of medication. I got to watch Godzilla play out on this little TV in the corner, the top corner of this room. And it was one of the best feelings ever. And then I woke up without tonsils.
Many Godzilla enthusiasts would say that that is the least Godzilla of all of the Godzillas, and it's not even a part it's not Godzilla,
the redheaded stepchild of Godzilla films, if you will.
Maybe I like the redheaded stepchild. He is he needs some love.
I think one of the beautiful things about this thing that is Godzilla is that it takes so many different forms. I mean, you've got from on the extreme end of the spectrum, which is kind of this movie, you have what is really a political drama. It's not really a monster movie. I mean, on the other end of the spectrum, you have like Godzilla versus Mothra, or where it's just two monsters duking it out. It's like bug fights. And it's an entirely different thing, and it's more like action-packed and cartoonish, I think is the word Garrison described. Like, you watch it on Saturdays, or you're flipping through and you catch it. And then you got things like the Matthew Broderick one, or the one that I remember more clearly is the one in 2014 with what is his name? I've forgotten it now. But Bryan Cranston, yes. Yeah. And those are more like dramas, you know, about like people. And so you have all these different spectrums of what Godzilla movies can be about. It can be about the monster. It can be about the country. It can be about the people. It can be about the government. Godzilla can be a good guy. Godzilla can be a bad guy. And he could kind of be anything. It's such an open form factor for innovation and telling different stories.
That's a good point. So on that note, are you ready for the closing statement?
I do want to respond to what David just said.
Mm-hmm.
So with Godzilla being so many things, can there be something like, could that hurt his appeal to a wider audience because they don't know whether to find him silly with all of these like weird spinoffs or to like take him more seriously and what, you know, what he's truly represents, because, you know, he's just sort of so many things. And if he's so many things, then can he be, okay, so, you know, like a jack of all trades, master of none, can he really be good at a thing?
I think I get what you're saying. I think that there is this double-edged sword quality to that. I mean, there's been a ridiculous number of Godzilla movies made since he came out. It's been around for a long time. And I find the fact that it can be so many different things, like, really cool. But it definitely creates this angst for people who are, like, Godzilla fans, I would say. That, you know, you go into the movie theater, you hear about one, and you're like, oh, boy. I mean, I kind of cringe about the fact that, like, in 2019 and 2020, we're going to be getting, or have gotten and will be getting, two new American Godzilla movies. And the American Godzilla movies kind of like cringe me. I don't really like them. I don't think the United States has really done a good treatment of Godzilla ever. That's my opinion. And so regardless of your opinion, because Godzilla can be so many different things, you're more likely to be disappointed with what you get. I mean, Shin Godzilla is my favorite adaptation. And so it's unlikely that I will get another one like it. And it's unlikely, I mean, it's unlikely at this point and unsure whether I'm going to get a sequel to this one. But I hope that answers your particular question about whether or not it hurts Godzilla as like a franchise. Is it definitely undermines the idea of what Godzilla is, if he can be anything.
All right. Thanks for your statement. Now let's continue.
Okay. On to the closing statements. I will start and then Garrison will add his closing statement after that. And you guys can vote to see who won this or send us an Anchor voice recording and tell us who you think. And then we'll add it into our next podcast or send us a Facebook message or something. You can contact us many ways. You can send us an email. Yeah. So as far as my closing statement, I would like to say this about Shin Godzilla. And there have been many things said about this film today, some of which I agree with, some of which I don't agree with. But in the end, this film will exist whether or not we agree with it or don't agree with it. And so therefore, why not watch it? Because it's out there.
All right. Is that all?
That's all.
All right. So this will be brief. Basically, my two major points are show, don't tell. I had a problem with that. And I just forgot my second one. Okay. Show, don't tell. And, oh, yeah, Godzilla should be feared. You know, none of this silly, pansy, mamby-pamby nonsense. Okay, he shoots atomic beams and he wrecks cities and people die and people have to get over that. And show me more of that instead of telling me. I want to feel it. And that's all.
Okay, awesome. So next week we will be discussing a very sought after, well, very like waited for, I think, film, and that is going to be Sonic the Hedgehog film, which is not entirely animation, but it's Sonic. So we're going to be doing character psychology for that one, so it's going to be pretty fun.
Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. Hope you liked it. Come again.